Welcome to Zichudav Siman Memar Avram Gold. Hi, Anthony. Masechas Yuma, Daf Lamed. The third parak, Amalema Mamuna. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah on Daf Chav Ches Amud Aleph stated the general rule. Called Matum Maim Tong Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. Anyone who urinates requires sanctification of his hands and feet, referring to washing the kiyur. The Gemara at the bottom of Chav Ches Amud Beis asks that while it's understandable that the feet must be washed, Misham Nitzotzos, because droplets of urine fell on them, what's the reason one needs to wash his hands? Rabbi Abba said this ruling indicates mitzvah l'shapshev, that there's a derabbanan mitzvah to rub off any droplets of urine with one's hand. Since the hands become unclean through this, they too must be washed. Rabbi Abba's explanation supports Rabbi Ami's statement that aso adam shi'etz min yitzotzos shal gabi raglav, that it's forbidden for a person to go out in public with droplets of urine on his feet, mipnei shenir kakru shavcha, because he'll appear like a person with a cut member, umotzi la'az al banav shehen mamzerim, and will cast aspersions on his children that they're mamzerim. Pointing me to the next Mishnah states, Ein adam nichnas la'azor la'avoda afil tar ad shi'itpo. No person may enter the azor to do the avoda, even if he's tahor, until he immerses himself in a mikveh. Ben Zoma was asked why Kohen needs to do this tefillah even if he's tahor, and he answered that regarding the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, ma mishanam kodesh kodesh, if the one who switches from one holy place on Yom Kippur to another holy place, umamakim she'anush koros, umamakim she'anush koros, and from a place of koros punishment to another place of koros punishment, ton tefillah, he requires immersion, then is it not a kal v'chomer that one who switches on any day, mochol kodesh, from a non-sacred place, like his home, to a sacred place, the base of Migdash, and from a place where there's no koros punishment to a place where there is a koros punishment, shouldn't he require tefillah? So Rav Yeruk disagreed and said, Srach tefil hizo, this is only a reminder immersion. Kedei sheyizkor tuma yeshana shebiyado v'yifrosh, so that one will recall any old tuma that's upon himself and stop from entering the temple. The Gemara clarifies that they disagree over whether one who did not immerse in the morning has violated a mitzvah's aseh. Ben Zoma holds he has, and Rav Yudah holds that he has not. And point number three, the Gemara seeks to reconcile conflicting brises. In the first brise, Rav Yudah holds that a mitzvah does not need to do a tefillah on the day of his purification, shekvar tavo mebe'era, because he had already immersed the previous evening. The second brise asks what the purpose was for the lishkas of Mitzrayim, and answers, shesham Mitzrayim tovin, because there the Mitzrayim would immerse themselves before inserting their thumbs and toes into the azora. And Rav Yudah says, not only would Mitzrayim immerse there, el kol adam, rather all people immerse themselves there before entering the azora. So this contradicts the first brayse where Rav Yudah states that a mitzvah is not required to immerse himself on the eighth day. So the Gemara answers that the first brayse refers to where he immersed the previous day, al das bias mikdash, for the intended purpose of entering the base of mikdash. The second brayse is where he didn't, and the tevilah only purified him from the tumah of tzaras. Two more answers are given. So once again, the three topics are, number one, the Mishnah on Daf Chav Ches Amud Aleph stated the general rule, kol matom maim ton kiddush yadayim v'raglayim, anyone who urinates requires sanctification of his hands and feet, referring to washing them from the kiyur. The Gemara at the bottom of Daf Chav Ches Amud Beis has that while it's understandable that the feet must be washed mishum nitzotzos because drops of urine fell on them, what's the reason one needs to wash his hands? Rabbi Abba said this really indicates mitzvah l'shapshev, that there's a derabbanan mitzvah to rub off any droplets of urine with one's hand. Since the hands become unclean through this, they too must be washed. Rabbi Abba's explanation supports Rabbi Ami's statement that asur adam shi'etz bin yitzotzo shal gabi raglav, that it's forbidden for a person to go out in public with droplets of urine on his feet, mipnei shenir kakru shavcha, because he'll appear like a person with a cut member, umotzi la'az al banav she'en mamzerim, and will cast aspersions on his children that they are mamzerim. Pointing me to the next Mishnah states, Ein adam nichnas la'azor la'avoda afil tar ad shi'itpo. No person may enter the azor to do the avoda even if he is tahor until he immerses himself in a mikveh. Ben Zoma was asked why Kohen needs to do this tevilah even if he's tahor. And he answered that regarding the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, ma mishanam kodesh kodesh, if the one who switches from one holy place on Yom Kippur to another holy place, umamakim she'anush koros umamakim she'anush koros, and from a place of koros punishment to another place of koros punishment, ton tevilah requires immersion, and then is it not a kal v'chomer that one who switches on any day, mochol kodesh, from a non-sacred place, meaning his home, to a sacred place, the base of Migdash, and from a place where there's no koros punishment to a place where there is a koros punishment, should require tefillah? Rav Yudah disagreed and said, Srach tefillah izo. This is only a reminder immersion, kedei sheyizkor tumah yeshana shebiyado v'yifrosh, so that he'll recall any old tumah that's upon himself and stop from entering the temple. The Gemara clarifies that they disagree over whether one who did not immerse in the morning has violated a mitzvah's aseh. Ben Zoma holds he has, and Rav Yudah holds he has not. And point number three, the Gemara seeks to reconcile conflicting brises. In the first brise, Rav Yudah holds that a mitzvah does not need to do a tevilah on the day of his purification, shekvar tavam be'er, because he had already immersed the previous evening. The second braisa asks what the purpose was for the lishkas of Mitzrayim, and answers, shesham Mitzrayim tovim, because there the Mitzrayim would immerse themselves before inserting their thumbs and toes into the azar. Rav Yehuda says that not only would Mitzrayim immerse there, ela kodam, rather all people immerse themselves there before entering the azar. So this contradicts the first braisa, where Rav Yehuda states that the Mitzrayim is not required to immerse himself on the eighth day. The Gemara answers that the first braisa refers to where he immersed the previous day, al das bias mikdash, for the intended purpose of entering the Beis HaMikdash. The second braisa is where he did not, and the tefillah only purified him from the tumah of tzaras. Two more answers are given. All right, so now we go to our siman for Daf Lamed, and our standard siman is Malamed, a Rebbe. So here goes. The very holy Rebbe installed the 12-spout washing station outside the bathroom for his talmidim to wash their hands, and insisted they bring signed notes they went to the mikveh before entering class each day, even if one was a Matsora. Once again, in slow motion. The very holy Rebbe, that must mean Ron Duff Lamed, Melamed. The very holy Rebbe installed the 12-spout washing station outside the bathroom for his talmidim to wash their hands, which reminds us the Mishnah stated the general rule, kol matum maim tom kiddush yadayim raglayim. Anyone who urinates requires sanctification of his hands and feet, referring to washing from the kiyur. The Gemara asks, while it's understandable that the feet must be washed, mishum nisotzos, because droplets of urine fall on them, what's the reason one needs to wash his hands? Rabbi Abba said this ruling indicates mitzvah l'shapshef, that there's a rabbanim mitzvah to rub off any droplets of urine with one's hands. Since hands become unclean through this, they too must be washed. Rabbi Abba's explanation supports Rabbi Abba's statement that it's forbidden for a person to go out in public with droplets of urine on his feet, because it'll appear like a person with a cup member, and I'll cast aspersions on his children that they're mamzerim. So the very holy Rebbe installed a 12-spout washing station outside the bathroom for his talmidim to wash their hands, and insisted they bring signed notes they went to the mikveh before entering class each day, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Ein ad nichnas la'azor lavoda afil tahor ad shiyidbo. No person may enter the azora to do the avoda, even if he is tahor, until he immerses himself in a mikveh. Ben Zoma was asked why a kohen needs to do the tefillah, even if he's tahor, and he answered that regarding the kohen gadol Yom Kippur, if one who switches from one holy place in Yom Kippur to another holy place, and from a place of karas punishment to another place of karas punishment, tohen tefillah requires tefillah, then is it not a kal v'chomer that one who switches on any day, mechol kodesh, from a non-sacred place, meaning his home, to a sacred place, the Beis HaMikdash, and from a place where there is no karas punishment to a place where there is a karas punishment, should require tefillah? Rav Yehuda disagreed and said, Tzrach tefillah hizo. This is only a reminder tefillah, so that one will recall any old tumah that's upon himself and stop from entering the temple. So the very holy Rebbe installed the 12-spout washing station outside the bathroom for his talmidim to wash their hands, and insisted they bring signed notes that they went to the mikveh before entering class each day, even if one was a Matsora, which reminds us. The Gemara sought to reconcile conflicting braises. In the first braise, Rav Yehuda holds that a Matsora does not need to do tevilah on the day of his purification, because he'd already immersed the previous evening. The second braise asks what the purpose was for the lishkas of Mitzrayim, and answers that there the Mitzrayim would immerse themselves before inserting their thumbs and toes into the azor. And Rav Yehuda says that not only would Mitzrayim immerse there, rather, all people immerse themselves before entering the azor. This contradicts the first braise, where Rav Yehuda states that the Matsora is not required to immerse himself on the eighth day. So the Gemara answers that the first braisa refers to where he immersed the previous day, al das bias mikdash, for the intended purpose of entering the Beis HaMikdash. The second braisa is where he did not, and the tefillah only purified him from the tumah of tzaras. And two more answers are given. So once again, the very holy Rebbe installed a 12-spout washing station outside the bathroom for his talmidim to wash their hands, and insisted they bring signed notes that they went to the mikveh before entering class each day, even if one was a Matsora. All right, now it's time for a 4-blot-back Chazara. Dav Chavav, so the symbol Dav Chavav is a military coup. So here goes. The military coup, that must be more Dav Chavav. The military coup to steal the wealth-producing incense altar failed miserably, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, that before the third pious, the following announcement is made, Chadashim HaKatoris, Bav V'Afis, for those Ghanim are new to the avoda of offering the Katoris, come and cast lots. The Gemara brings a brace that teaches that a person never repeated it, meaning that no one ever offered the Katoris more than once. Vichina said the reason is Mipneshma Asher, it's because it brings prosperity to those who perform it. Or she explains that because it made someone wealthy, it didn't allow one to do it twice. Even though the Oz mentioned the same Pusik as the Katoris, when the Pusik speaks of making someone wealthy, it's referring to an infrequent avoda, for otherwise all Kohanim would be rich. So the military coup to steal the wealth-producing incense altar failed miserably. When they couldn't make it through the multitudes of Kohanim, bring the limbs up from the ramp to the Mizbeach, which reminds us, the Mishnah stated that the fourth pious is for a new Kohanim together with the old ones and determines who brings the limbs out from the ramp to the Mizbeach. The Gemara notes that our Mishnah is not going with the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who is taught in the Mishnah and Tamid. The Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that the one who brings the lamps up onto the ramp is the one who brings them up onto the Mizbeach. The Gemara explains that our Tana maintains that it's preferable to have a larger number of Kohanim participating, because it's stated, Barov Am Hadras Melech, with the multitude of people is the glory of the king. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds that Kohanim who carry the limbs to the ramp should finish the job by taking them to the Mizbech, because in the place of the Shechina it's not proper conduct to give the impression that a job is too troublesome to finish. So the military coup to steal the wealth-producing incense altar failed miserably. When they couldn't make it through the multitudes of Kohanim bringing the limbs up from the ramp to the Mizbeach, and the two Kohanim carrying the wood. Which reminds us, it was taught in a brace where Bishim Bar Yochai says that from where do I know regarding the afternoon tami that requires two blocks of wood carried by two Kohanim to the Marach on the Mizbeach, the Torah states, Va'archu Eitzim, and the sons of Aaron shall place the fire on the Mizbeach, and they shall arrange wood on the fire. Since this phrase Va'archu has no application in the morning Tamid, for it's already written there, then applied to the afternoon Tamid. Since the Pasuk is written in plural, Va'archu, we derive that two Kohanim are required. Dav Chav Zayin. So the Simur Dav Chav Zayin is a kazoo. A kazoo. So here goes. The children who joyously blew their kazoos, that must mean we're on Dav Chav Zayin. The children who joyously blew their kazoos when they saw their non-Kohen Tati skin and dismember an offering, which reminds the Gemara brings a brice on the bottom of Dav Chav Vav Amud Beis that teaches regarding a personal offering, Heb Sheitim B'Nituch and Shavim B'Zar. Their skinning and dismemberment are equal in that they may be performed by a Zar. Chizki brings initial source of this ruling, but it's refuted, and after several attempts to identify the source, the Gemara concludes that it's from the following pasuk concerning the burning of the limbs of an Ola. The Hikter HaKohen Es HaKol, and the Kohen shall cause it all to go up in smoke. What does the superfluous mention of a Kohen come to teach? Lamute hepshe benituch, to exclude flaying and dismemberment from the requirement to have a Kohen perform it. So the children who joyously blew their kazoos when they saw their non-Kohen tati, skin and dismember an offering, were hushed by six Kohanim carrying parts of the tamid, which reminds us, the Gemara expounds the following pasuk regarding the Ola offering, Varchu b'ni Aaron ha-Kohanim, they shall arrange the sons of Aaron the Kohanim, they shall arrange implies to, the sons of Aaron implies to, Kohanim implies to, Lamadnu l'tresh shetan shishu, we learn from this that the sheep of the Tamid requires six Kohanim to bring its parts to the ramp. Rabbi Elazar was bothered by the following difficulty. The above pasuk is discussing the old offering brought from cattle, which requires 24 Kohanim to carry their parts. Rabbi Elazar then resolved the difficulty himself, that the pasuk concludes, Ala Eitzim Eshala Eish Eshala HaMizbeach, on the wood that's on the fire that's on the Mizbeach. Since these words are superfluous, since the previous pasuk mentioned them as well, they must come to teach regarding a matter where they play a significant role. This must be a reference to the sheep of the Tamid. Rashi explains that even if the previous day's arrangement is still burning, a new arrangement must be made for the Tamid. So the children who joyously blew their kazoos when they saw their non-Kohen Tati, skin and dismember an offering, were hushed by six Kohanim carrying parts of the Tamid, who heard them all night blowing when their father put wood on the maracha. Which reminds us, Rabbi Zera objected to a ruling said in the name of Yochanan, that Zar Shesidr as a maracha chayev, a non-Kohen arranged the wood on the maracha is chayev, referring to Misa B'dei Shemayim. Rabbi Zera said, V'ki yeshucha avoda shekasher b'layav b'sul b'zar, do you ever find an avoda that's valid if it's performed at night, and yet it's invalid if it's performed by a Zar? Since the arrangement of the wood on the maracha can be done at night, it should not require a Kohen. The Gemara objects to Rabbi Zera's assumption because of two reasons, and each one is refuted. The Gemara concedes that Rabbi Zera's assumption stands and amends Rabbi Yochanan's statement to Zar Shesidr Shnei Gezire Eitzim Chayev, a non-Kohen who arranged the two blocks of wood on the Maracha is Chayev, referring to Misa B'dei Shemayim, due to it being a daytime avoda. Tav Chav Ches, so the symbol of Chav Ches is a strong man, Koach. So here goes. The strong man, that must be more Tav Chav Ches. The strong man who stood on the roof to see if dawn had arrived, which reminds us, the opening mission of the third parak states, Amr Lema Mamuna, the administrator, which Rashi defines as a skan kohen gadol, says to the assembled Kohanim to go and see if the time of the shkita for the morning tamid had arrived. If it had arrived, the observer would say, Barkai, dawn. Masi ben Shmuel says, Heir p'nei kohen mizrach, the eastern sky has lit up. He would then be asked, Ad shebe Chevron, as far as Chevron, and he says, yes. Why was this necessary? Because one time, the moon's light rose over the horizon close to morning, and they thought the east had lit up from the sun. And so they shechted the tamid, behotzi'u l'beis reifa, but then had to take it out to the place of burning. So the strong man who stood on the roof to see if dawn had arrived saw an elder in yeshiva tell his loyal servant, which reminds us, Rabbi Chama Rabbi Chanina said, Mi'yemein shal v'seinu l'parshi yeshiva man. from the days of our forefathers, yeshivas did not depart from them. He learns from the presence of the Zakenim, of the elders in Mitzrayim in the Midbar, that yeshivas were present there. He continues that Avram Avinu was an elder sitting yeshiva, as it says, Avram Zaken Babi Yamim. Avram was a Zaken, well on in years. And Psukim were also brought to prove that Yitzhak and Yaakov were also elders who sat in yeshivas. And Eliezer, the Eved Avram, was also a Zaken, sitting in yeshiva. As it's written, Yomer Avram El Avdo, Zaken Beiso HaMoshe B'Kol Asher Lo. Avram said to his servant, the elder of his household, who controlled all that was his. Rabbi Elazar expanded the end of the pasuk of Moshe B'Kol Asher Lo, who controlled all that was his, to mean Shemoshe B'Torah's Rabbo, that Eliezer had dominion over the Torah of his master. He also interprets the words Hu Domestic Eliezer to mean Shado Umashkim B'Torah Shel Rabbo L'Acherim, that Eliezer drew from the Torah of his master and gave it to others to drink. Rashi explains that the word domestic is an anacronym of the words Dola Umashka. He draws and gives a drink. So the strong man who stood on the roof to see if dawn had arrived saw an elder in yeshiva tell his loyal servant to set up an Erev Tavshilin, which reminds us. Rav said, Kim Avram Avinu Kol HaTorah Kula, Avram Avinu fulfilled the entire Torah, as it says, Ekav Asher Shama Avram B'Koli, Bishmar B'Mishmarti, Mitzvosai Chukosai V'Sorosai. Because Avram obeyed my voice and observed my safeguards, my commandments, my statutes, my laws. Rav said, and some say it was Rav Ashi, Kim Avram Avinu Afil Eruv Tavshilin, Avram Avinu fulfilled even the Rabbanan of Eruv Tavshilin, as is written the Pasuk Torah Sai, my laws, in the plural. Achaz Torah Shebiksav, V'Achaz Torah Shebalpeh, which indicates both the written law and the oral law. Dav Chavtes, so the symbol Chavtes is a cot. So here goes. The prince is lying on the cot. Cot? That must be more Dav Chavtes. The prince is lying on the cot, surrounded by meat roasting on broken pieces of cement, which reminds us, Rav Nachman made several statements and included a sim for each one. Two of them were, Yihuri Aver Kashume Avera, V'simanech Recha Debisra, thoughts of sin are worse than sin, and the simen is the aroma of roasting meat. Rashi explains that the smell of roasting meat is very disturbing to someone who can't eat it. And the second statement was, Migmar Ba'atikata Kashume Chadasa V'simanech Tina Bartina. Relearning old forgotten material is harder than acquiring new knowledge. And the simen is cement made from old cement. Rashi explains that it's hard to make cement by crumbling and reconstituting an old cement wall than by crumbling fresh dirt. So the prince is lying on the cot surrounded by meat, roasting on broken pieces of cement, woke up in the morning. Which reminds us, Rav Asi said, Laman nimshal Esther l'shachar? Why is Esther compared with the morning? Rashi brings the Gemara Megillah that Esther said the kapitel of Lamnatzeach al ayelus ha-shachar when she reached the chamber of idols to speak to Achashverosh. To tell you that just as the morning is the end of the entire night, so too the redemption wrought by Esther is the end of all the miracles. When Gemara asks, well, what about the miracle of Hanukkah that occurred after Purim? Nitna lichtov kamrin. We meant to say that Purim is the last miracle allowed to be recorded as part of Tanakh. So the prince is lying on the cot surrounded by meat, roasting on broken pieces of cement, woke up in the morning and saw the kemitzah she did at night being burned up as well. Which reminds the Mishnah taught that an animal offering that was shechted at night was invalid and required burning. The father of Rabbi Avin taught a brisa that said, "Af malika za'ov kemitzas mincha b'laila tisarif." Also, the malika of a bird or the kemitzah of a mincha that was performed at night must be burned. The Gemara asks, "Well, it's understandable that a bird ola that was nipped at night must be burned because it's already been nipped, and therefore there's no way to reverse the process. Why should the kometz be burned? Let the cone return the flour to the pan containing the rest of the mincha, and then take a new kometz at daytime." Rabbi Avin's father explained, Klishar is mekachin afil shul v'zmano. A klishar is consecrates an offering even not at its proper time. Therefore, once the kometz was placed in the klishares, even at night, it can no longer be returned to the rest of the mincha. When this teaching is challenged based on a brisa that teaches that anything offered by day is sanctified by day, but not at night, the Gemara answers that the kometz is not sanctified regarding being able to offer it, but it's sanctified enough to become invalid. The Gemara further clarifies that the ton of the brisa holds, Laila ein mechusar zman, that the time frame of night doesn't render something premature, since the night begins the day in Jewish law, whereas Yom Mechusar Zman, the time frame of day, does render something premature if it's to be done the following day. All right, now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from previous Mesechtas. Number 1, which daf do we know that 6 go on and bring the parts of the Tamid up to the ramp? That's on daf Chav Zayin. Good. Number 2, which stuff do we know that the fourth pious was to select Kohanim to bring the limbs from the ramp to the Mizbeach as the Tana holds Barova Am Hadras Melch? That's on Daf Chavav. Good. Number 3, which stuff do we know that the Avos learned in yeshivas as well as Eliezer Eved Avram? That's on Daf Chavches. Good. Number 4, which stuff do we know that Rabbi Yehuda holds that a Metzor who immersed the night before Al Das Bias Mikdash does not need to be Tovol on the 8th day? That's on Dav Lamed. Good number five, which of the one that Esther is compared to the Shachar, because just like the morning is the end of the night, she was Sof Kol HaNisim. That's on Daf. Chavtes. Good number six, which of the one that one urinates, it's a mitzvah the Rabban to rub off the droplets, which is the reason why the hands must be washed. That's on Daf. Lamed. Good. Number seven. Which stuff did we learn that they would check to see if this month of Shechita had arrived? Because one time they confused the light with the light of the moon. That's on Daf. Chavches. Good. Number eight. Which stuff did we learn that Hepshet and Nituch, skinning and dismemberment, can be done by a Zar? That's on Daf. Chavzain. Good. Number nine. Which stuff did we learn that two Kohanim brought the Shnei Gezira Eitzim for the afternoon Tami? That's on Daf. Chavav. Good. And number ten. Which daf do Malchus ben Zemun and Yehuda whether a tahor immersing before entering the Azara is it the Raisa Chiyuv or just a Srach Tefillah or a reminder Tefillah? That's on Daf. Lamed. Excellent. All right, now we go to the three bonus questions. Number one. Which daf do Malchus of women who weave the parochas who receive their wages from the Shiari Lishka or from Bedek Abayis? That's on Daf. Yidin Shkolin. Good. Number two. Which daf do women that eating three meals on Shabbos saves one from misfortune? That's on Daf. Kufiyut Ches and Shabbos, good. And number three, which stuff do you learn how one can see the bear Miriam's well, that's on Daf. Lamed Hay and Shabbos, excellent. All right, that concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.